Hello, welcome to the Grace Life Podcast. The message you're about to hear, if diligently applied, will absolutely change your life. We're praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, thereby allowing the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Now let's join the service already in progress with Pastor West.
I'm glad you're here. Amen. Well, I got a number of things stirring this morning. It'll take the Holy Spirit to pull it all together. It's like my wife. I watched her make some amazing meals out of this and that and that and this. And my mother always had that ability. She could whip up a meal faster, and then you could say, Cracker Jack. Well, so we just trust Him for utterance this morning. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4. Yes, last week we talked about, actually for 2 weeks, about the goodness of God. We're not anywhere near through with that. We may be on it in just a minute. Just going to follow this for a moment. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Apostle Paul. Uttered these words by the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 4, in whom the God of this world, now, let me stop right there. I think most of you know who the God of this world is, but a lot of people don't know who the God of this world is. You say, well, of course it is God. No, God is not the God of this world. He was, and He will be again. If you just read the verse, it tells you, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So do you see God blinding people's minds so they can't believe the gospel? Okay, I'm glad we got that fixed now the way. I've had a lot of people through the years get mad at this scripture and say, how dare you say that God is not the God of this world? Well, the earth is the Lord's in fullness thereof, but Adam sold us out. He kind of took the lease, you know, from Adam. Didn't have the moral right to do it, but legally, Adam sold us out. And so the time will come again where it will transfer back to its original owner, and things will completely be changed. Amen. God is not in charge of the world. There's no way you could watch the news and think God's running this thing. Well, you don't have to watch the news. Just look at life, right? Now, you'll get a better idea of how God runs something in the millennium. When we're here for 1,000 years, and it won't be a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. It'll be Jesus, the Prince of Priests. And the scripture says, of His government, it shall never end. The government shall be on His shoulders. And He said, the lion will lay down with the lamb. And you'll see perfect peace on the earth. Everything and everybody will get together. Amen. Peace. The peace of God. So, and whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. Now, that word minds there in that verse, it's the word that comes, Moriah. M-O-R-I-A, Moriah. It derives from the word moron. So he says, Satan blinds people's minds so that when they hear this gospel, it means nothing to them. And everything you're saying about the gospel, you sound like a moron to them. So until the veil is lifted off, until the blinders are removed, they're just hearing someone talk. So let's read it again with that information. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the moron, the Moriah, the minds, so that they cannot believe the glorious light of the gospel. lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, would shine to them. He doesn't want to shine to them. Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for his sake. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure, he says, in an earthen vessel. Modern translation said we have the treasure of God in a dirt suit. You know, we're three parts mud, one part water. Or three parts water, one part mud. The other way around. And so God hath invested himself in us. And so we have him. He's the treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God, not on out of us. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. We're going to go from here to there and just say, we'll just trust the Holy Spirit to bring it all together. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Oh, I'm sorry, that's page 1930. If you have a Bible just like this one, might have helped someone, I don't know. Verse 17, this I say therefore, Paul again speaking, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Other translations say in the emptiness of their mind, or their souls, or the futility of their minds. Having the understanding darkened. Well, when your understanding is darkened, what happens? Right here in this verse it says, you're being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Wow, who wants to be alienated from the life of God? Through the ignorance that's in them, having their understanding darkened. Well, going on to say, and I'll just read verse 18 again, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. The Amplified says in that verse, the moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God. They have no share in it. Because of the ignorance of the want of knowledge and the perception of the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart and to the insensitiveness of the moral nature. But verse 20 says, but you have so learned Christ. Right? There's three of you that agree with that. Hallelujah. But I say, I've so learned Christ. Verse 21, so if so be that you heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Notice he didn't say church. Notice he didn't say a denomination. Notice he didn't say the hierarchy. You know, there's only one person who died for you. One. One. You'll answer to one. So you might as well have a conversation with that one. You might as well have fellowship with that one. Amen. Well, the Bible says, James says, don't aspire to be teachers. He said, teachers will be judged more severely. Well, if I'm going to be judged by what I teach you, I want to have a working relationship with the one who's going to talk to me about it. Now, watch here. It says, verse 22, it tells us to put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. That means the manner of life. Put off your old way of life, the manner of life, which is corrupt. Not partially corrupt, it's corrupt. According to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, he's talking to born-again believers. You don't tell an unbeliever to put on the new man when he's not born again. So we see here's a believer who's walking around as a moron in the vanity of their mind, totally alienated from the life of God. You think that's God's highest purpose in, huh? Y'all doing okay? So he tells you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. See, they told you, kids, you know, you'd act at some time, they said, well, she just a put on. Well, she was scriptural. He says, put off and then put on. The mistake we want to take is take a bad doctrine or something that's not truth. Then we hear truth. Instead of removing the bad, we try to put the good over the bad. When you go to the dentist, if he caps a tooth and it's got decay in it, he doesn't cap over the decay. He gets rid of the decay, right? And then he puts in the new. What good does it do to put a new suit over dirty underwear, which I don't have on dirty. But I'm just saying, since I went like that, wouldn't do any good, right? What good is it to put old new paint on old paint if you don't get rid of the old first and what's flaking and what's not? I mean, that's the foundation, right? So if you're putting something new on a faulty foundation, what's going to last? Nothing, right? So he says, get rid of the old and get ready for the new. Get rid of the old so that you can embrace the new. Now, he's talking to Christians. This is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. And look what he teaches them. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, what's the truth in that? He just told you that you were created in righteousness and true holiness. That means as a born-again believer, you are the righteousness of God, and the holiness of God. Amen. Which derives from him. Then he has to give them some further correction. Next verse, he says, and put away lying. And he's telling the church, you need to quit lying. ABCs, right? Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's not telling you you have a right to be mad until sunset. You say, I got 2 more minutes. And let me tell you this, brother, sister. That doesn't give you a space to dog them out until sunset. I knew a guy one time. He says, well, I was mad at my wife, so I was telling her this, and she pointed this verse. She said, you need to drop it. The sun went down. He said, it's up somewhere. That's a good way to find yourself sleeping outside somewhere. That's just not good counsel. So he tells us, don't be angry, sin not. Now there's a godly anger, that's right. Jesus exhibited a godly anger, right? He came into the temple and there they were, you know, carrying on as a marketplace. And he went in there and turned the tables over. He said, this is a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves, right? There was self-indignation. And so he was upset that way. So he said, verse 27, give no place to the devil. Notice if you don't give him one, he can't take one. So don't give him a place. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Next verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearer. I wonder how we do with that sometimes. Let nothing come out of your mouth that's not edifying to you and to those you speak to. Don't raise your hand, but I'm just saying, you know, this would save a lot of marriage problems. We did this from time to time through the years and say, we'll give you a Sunday through Wednesday challenge not to say anything negative and any negative light to your neighbor, to your neighbor or to your spouse. Nothing. You can say nothing negative. No matter what boneheaded thing he does, you can't say nothing negative about it. And one wife, she said, dear Lord, what will we have to talk about? Well, that may fix it right there. Let no corrupt communication out of your mouth unless it's good and it can be used to edify another person so that it might minister grace to those who hear it. Notice not doing that, the next verse grieves the Holy Spirit. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, go with me to John, the 16th chapter. And we'll swap gears here and we'll see why we're doing it. I believe he'll show us here in a moment. John 16. And I was getting involved in ministry in my first few months, a year or two. I needed to know everything I was going to say. Every word. Well, in the beginning years when you're being trained and you're coming to know yourself and how God uses you, he allows a lot of that. Something like this morning, which I know it doesn't mean much to you on your side, but does to me, he would have made me a nervous wreck. I thought, well, what is this going to have to do with this? And why would I bring this up after this? And I'm just going to read down to there, and then after I'm through, I'm going to be through with that, and then what am I going to say after that? Because that wouldn't have made sense with this and this. I think, oh my gosh. Well, you know, God's actually bigger than that. Watch John 16. Jesus says, this is right before he's crucified. Verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, which is easier for him because he is the truth. Right? Jesus has never told a lie. Which means he'll never lie to you. Do you know one close to you that you've known for a lot of years has never kind of stressed it just a little bit or lied to you? So Jesus said, I'm the truth, so here comes the truth. He said, it's expedient or to your advantage that I go away. Talking to his disciples. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come, for I will depart and I'll send him unto you. When he, the Comforter, come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because they go to my Father and see him no more. Now, here, in other translations, Amplified does a really good job of it. If you want to check some of the wordage or the of the Amplified, you'll see it in the original. Not in everything, but in this verse, it does really good. It says in the Amplified, verse 7, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. So that he said, I'm leaving, but it's to your advantage. It's to your advantage if I go. For you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter, which is the Counselor, which is your Helper, which is your Advocate, which is your Intercessor, he's also your Strengthener, he's also your Standby, he will not come to you or be in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I'll send him to you, and the Holy Spirit, your Comforter, will be in close fellowship with you. Close fellowship with you. Now, the Godhead is what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, all God. Huh? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he said, I'll send him. So what he's saying is God, the Holy Spirit, will be in close fellowship with you. Well, you could have close fellowship or not so close. They asked Smith Wigglesworth years ago, the apostle of faith, and who radically changed the world while he was here. He was given the name by others as the apostle of faith, Because some said he has reckless faith. He said, I'm not reckless. Some says that you have daring faith. He says, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Right? I mean, but it's documented that we know that he had 13 people raised from the dead, and I think three of them had already been embalmed. So when you go to the morgue and you do that, you need to know something. Especially in societies today, as it were, lest thou find thyself in a lawsuit that I cannot get out of. Amen. He went to one, understood it was in New York, took the guy out of the morgue, pulled him out of the drawer, put him over his shoulder, carried him to the church, walked him straight up, put him in the chair up front, and he says, John wants to give a testimony. Told him out, another man went in, he was in his meeting. He said he had trouble with his leg. He was an amputee, and he was having trouble where the peg goes, or goes into the leg. And so he was asking Smith, he said, would you pray that the pain would go away? May Smith mad. He said, well, sir, why are you mad at me? He said, well, why didn't you ask the Lord for a new leg? He said, what? He says, so you're not going to pray for me? He says, no. He says, but here's what you do. He said, in the morning when the shop opens up, he said, I want you to go buy yourself a new pair of shoes. True story. It's documented. Read it just the other day. It's hilarious because all that happened. And so the guy went the next morning, just on the words of Smith Wigglesworth. And he came in there and he had his crutches or however he got in. Yeah, I said, can I help you? So I'm here to buy a pair of shoes. And he said, well, okay. He says, men or women, who are you buying them for? He says, well, I want a pair of black shoes, dress shoes. And then he said he wanted size 9, which I thought was interesting because at that point you can be any size you want to, right? I mean, if you're an amputee from here down and you're believing that you're about to get the rest of your leg and your foot and your toes, I'm assuming you can pick your shoe size, which is what he did. And he said, well, sir, he said, just go get them. And he went and got them. And when he got there, he opened the shoe and the guy said, he says, these are for me. And when he said, these are for me, his leg began to grow out within a period of 3 to 4 minutes. And a foot was formed, and toes was formed, and toenails. And they said the man passed out, and when he woke up, he ran out, and no one ever saw that man again. The store owner. Amen. So they asked Smith Wigglesworth about fellowship with him. They said, well, you must be a man of prayer. He said, I am. They said, well, how long do you pray? He said, well, I only pray about 10 to 15 minutes. They said, oh, I would have thought you would have had a long... your kind of life, your kind of ministry, you must have had long periods of prayer. He said, no, I never prayed over 10 to 15 minutes. They said, well, how long would you go before you prayed again? He said, 10 to 15 minutes. What was he saying? I'm in constant fellowship. I'm constantly in contact with heaven. You're set in a time. I don't set time. I'm just in constant fellowship. Glory to God. Well, now let's see what else he has to say here. Verse 13 of that same opening, John 16:13. I'm going to read this part from the Amplified also. And if that bothers you, I'll quit reading the Amplified just a moment. Amen. We had someone years ago, I don't know who it was, doesn't matter. When we was in Clanton, I was reading some translation, and it must have disturbed him. Not a new one, just, you know. And he said he would never come there again because that translation was demonic. Therefore, the church was demonic. Therefore, the pastor was demonic. Therefore, the people were demonic. And Praise God. So this is going to be for the Amplified. So if it's demonic, close your ears. Then we'll get back to maybe one of your godly translations in just a moment. When He, the Spirit of Truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He'll guide you into all truth, the whole truth, and the full truth. Now, we've already established that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. Therefore, if He's going to guide you or counsel you, right, He's a counselor, He's a helper. If He's going to guide you, it's going to be an area of always truth. No matter what the subject, it's going to be truth, right? And it's going to be the whole truth and the full truth. Now, this is where I think someone should really listen. To receive truth, there has to be a willingness on your part to let go of what you've always considered to be truth that is not true. Go further and I'll come back. The Spirit of Truth, He comes and He guides you in truth, the whole truth, and the full truth. Now watch here. He will not speak His own message. This is Jesus speaking. He will not speak on His own authority. He, Holy Spirit, will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that's been given to Him, and He will announce it and declare it to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Next verse, Jesus said, He will honor and glorify Me because He will take of, receive, He will draw upon what is Mine, and then will reveal and declare and disclose and transmit that message to you. Jesus said in the next verse, everything that the Father has is Mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are Mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. See, Jesus can't give bad counsel. If you have partial information and you make a decision for yourself or for someone else with partial information, your decision or your choice could be wrong because it's based on limited knowledge or revelation. Jesus said, I have everything that the Father has. Now, the only thing we don't know, the only thing we know He doesn't have is, they asked Jesus, well, when's He coming back? He said, that's to the Father. That's not for you to know. That's not for Me to know. Well, so here He says He'll take of Mine and disclose of that. And so I just broke it down from that verse. I was writing this down the other day when I was studying. He said, I'll show you things to come. Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He said, I'll speak to you about what's going to happen in the future. So you have someone who lives not close to you, but you have someone who lives in you, who knows all future. He's not a palm reader. He's not psychic. So He said, I'll speak to you about what's going to happen in the future because He's the revealer and He's the revelator. Now we know Jesus said He will not speak of Himself. He'll not speak His own message on His own authority. When the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you, directing you, He's getting all His information from the head of the church. For you. Not just in messages that's for everyone, but for your life. For your individual life. Because there's things that's not in the Bible that you need information on. You know, like marry Rufus or don't marry Rufus. That's not in there. But since the Holy Spirit knows Rufus, or Tom, or George, or Frank, or Bill, and knows everything about him and the future, he could enlighten you. And everything he said would be truthful. Can you see the value in that? Now, I've never done anything with the stock market, and I don't know why. I just never have. But if I had someone that I knew would be 100% because they had full knowledge, that'd be a pretty good deal, wouldn't it? You say, well, put this 100 here, put this 1,000 here, and if there never was a miss, that'd be a great advantage. So Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. Well, it's better in one sense just because Jesus came to the earth as a man. He'll always be known as the Son of God, but in heaven, he's known as the Son of Man. Right? So as a man, he had a limited ability. He could not be all places at one time. This man got tired. This man got hungry. This man had to have sleep. Right? The Holy Spirit is not limited. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, knows everything. He can be everywhere at one time. Except in your covenant, he's not behind a veil and he's not in a box. He's in you. Amen. You are the Ark of the Covenant. Glory to God. But when he speaks to you, he's not speaking his own message, although he is God, Holy Spirit. He still receives it, Jesus said, from him, from the head of the church. He will tell you what he hears from the Father for you or about you. So we see even in the area of the gifts of the Spirit. The 9 gifts of the Spirit. 3 of them reveal things. Well, you would have, for instance, the word of knowledge. It's not the paragraph of knowledge. It's not the full story of knowledge. Right? If you ever operated in that, you'd like for it to be that way, but it's simply a word. I mean, there's been many times through the years I knew I had a word of knowledge for someone, and I had 1 or 2 words. Sometimes I had no words. Sometimes he would say, go to that person in church meeting or not meeting, and I have something to tell them. Well, when I was getting started, I said, well, what is it? In his kindness and helping me and training me, he would tell me. Now he doesn't do that too many times. He just says, go there, and on your way, well, when you say, many times for me it works this way. I just know I have a word, and I walk up to the person, I say, and the Lord would say, and I don't have a clue what the Lord would say. Now, do you think I want to put myself in that predicament on purpose? Would you like to be in that predicament? Could someone miss it? Yeah, they could miss it. There's the human side. But if we don't do anything because we could miss it, then you shouldn't have left home. You could have had a wreck. Right? You shouldn't eat again. You could get food poisoning. You shouldn't have children. They can talk. Oh, not again. Well, so the word of knowledge would be a fragmentary part. Paul talks about the gifts in Corinthians chapter 12. And he talks about the word of knowledge would be a fragmentary part of the knowledge of God, not the fullness of knowledge. The word of wisdom would be concerning that of the future. God would be sharing with you a fragmentary part of his wisdom concerning future events. Some said, well, those gifts passed away. No, they haven't. You have no scripture for that. Well, they don't do that in my church. Well, that means 15 cents worth of nothing. See, because I'm getting my information from the head of the church, so why would we care about what your church did? Right? Did you know the Lord's not like your church? And when we get to heaven one day, we'll find out. Brother Hagin used to say it. He says, when you get to heaven, he said, you may be shocked to find out who's there and who's not there. He said, when you find out who's not there, he said, you might be shocked that you're there. Well, here, the Holy Spirit, he's speaking a message, but it's not on his authority. He said he will not speak of himself, nor will he speak his own message, nor will he speak it on his own authority, but he will tell what he hears from the Father. He will tell what he is hearing from the Father. Well, God has infinite knowledge. Nothing is outside of his ability to know, see, or understand, or discern anything. True? He said he will give the message to you that has been given to him. Can you see the advantage? Remember, he's the counselor. He's the helper. He's the strengthener. He's the advocate. He's the standby. He's there to help you. He is your partner. He's your partner in raising children. He's your partner in marriage. He's your partner in business, if you have a business. And if he's your partner, he ought to be the senior partner. He will give the message that's given to him. Jesus said, then he will announce it and declare these things to come that's coming in the future. I woke up at 3:43 this morning. Wide awake. Which is not the time I generally like to be wide awake. It just clears the bell. I said, Lord, I know what's going on here. You do this to me. Also often. What is it? He said, get people back to the basics. He said, they're missing me in the basics. Get back to basics. They're missing me in the things that they already have knowledge of. But they're letting those things slip. Get back. Well, we call them basics, but they're not really basics. But then he said, and then teach them to master them. And then he said, if you do that, and if they'll listen and heed, he talked to me about things that would happen to us, to them, in the future. He also spoke to me about things, if they refuse, that would happen in the future. Well, I'm just telling you, that's what I'm going to do. Right? Not just for me, for you. Praise God. Now, I just have to trust the Holy Ghost to bring this together, because it seems to me like I'm giving you three different kind of messages. We need to know. Go to Psalms chapter 90. Psalms 90. Let me quote something that I know you know of. Don't go there, but Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Do not lean to your own understanding, your own wisdom, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. There are things concerning directions for our life that we need to have information on. There's things that's operating in our life and in our homes or within us, or maybe concerning the need for healing or whatever the need might be, that the Lord wants to give you a different perspective of. Because if we lose perspective, you see, Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know the hope of his calling. He didn't pray. What Paul didn't pray is pray that God would do this. What Paul prayed in the Ephesian prayers is that your eyes would be open to what God has already done. Not that he would do anything, but that you and I would see, have a spirit of wisdom and revelation from the Revelator who lives in you, who knows all things, who speaks nothing but truth. He would reveal to you what God has already done. So that you could see it from that perspective. See, because if you go from the perspective of this is already done, it's a finished work in Christ. And I approach it from that perspective, it's a lot different than I'm trying to get God to do something. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if I'm already healed, how do I manifest what's already happened? If God has, as Michelle was talking about, has already supplied my need, has crammed it full, then how do I manifest or appropriate in my life what God has already done for me? See, Psalms 33 says, God loves righteousness and justice, and he said, the earth is full of the goodness of God. Well, if something's full of that, there's no more room for it. So if the earth is full of God's goodness, we should be able to see it somewhere. I mean, how can the earth be full of something and we don't know it? Right? See, God's very nature is nothing but good. It's the essence of his being. God doesn't do good things. He's just good. I've asked many people through the years in way of testimony saying, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go to heaven? Or do you know where you would spend eternity? And they said, and most of them would say, well, I think I'd go to heaven. And I said, well, that's wonderful. But can you tell me why you would say that? And 7 out of 10 would say this. Probably 8 out of 10. They would say, because I'm a pretty good person. That's the surest way to get to hell that I know of. Right? Now, I'm not saying they were going to go to hell, but this is their understanding that I would go to heaven because you think that's for good people. And they're saying, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good person. I had one person tell me, I think I would go to heaven. He said, I give blood twice a year. Well, you better find out about somebody else's blood and not about your blood. One guy told me, he said, of course I'd go to heaven. He said, I'm an American. I said, to what? He said, I'm an American, man. I said, well, what's that got to do with anything? He said, man, this is a Christian nation. Of course I'd go to heaven. I'm thinking, how stupid can you get and still walk? Right? Well, here it is. He says that we want to put our understanding, not in our own wisdom. We want to understand. And we want to have comprehension that the Lord's doing something here. Now, I want to rein some things in. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I want to rein some things in. There's things that's going on in our lives from time to time, not always, but from time to time. And if we were to rate them from 1 to 10, someone would be small and some would be large, but we've got all this stuff. You know how long that will be going on in your life? As long as you're here. Years ago, I shared this many times through the years, but years ago, many years ago. And I remember saying, Lord, I'll be glad when this situation is over. I don't even know what the situation was now. I said, but I will be so glad when this is over. He said, why? I said, because I'm just ready for this situation to be over. He said, why don't you just learn to live by faith? I said, sir. He said, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Not as an experiment, they live that way. He said, because when this one's over, another one will take his place. I said, well, that don't sound fun. Right? But he said, the just shall live by faith in God. Well, you have the faith of God. You have the faith of God. You're not to have faith in God. You got somebody's attention. Paul said, the life that I'm now living in this body, in this flesh, I live by the faith of God, the faith in His Son. Not faith in Jesus, but I live by the faith of Jesus. In other words, His faith is in my born-again spirit. Now I have His faith in me. So I deal with these situations with His faith. That ought to do something for you. I'm living by, in, through his faith. Acts 17, I think is verse 5, says, in him I live and move and I have my being. Now, if you have a situation that you've already approached it in faith and it's ongoing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I knew there had to be a way to get to this. You're in a situation and you've already spoken and you've released the word of God into it, but you have not seen the manifestation yet. It's kind of like, has anyone ever been in a situation in life, you, family, whatever it is, health, anything, and it kind of feels like a storm? Do I need to explain what a storm is spiritually? I mean, if you hadn't had one, have you ever heard of anybody who went through a storm in life? If you don't know, see me after the service. I'll explain it to you. Here's what happens for us that God provided for you during those times. Verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I'm going to say he's my refuge, and I'm going to say he's my fortress, he's my God, in him will I put my trust. He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with thy feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day. I will not be afraid for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near me. Oh, and I'll get back to this. Do we have the GNT? We don't? Get it on your phone, Michelle, please. Psalms 91, the GNT translation. All right, verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Behold, thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall you. When these thoughts are coming to you, when they're coming in, like he said, like arrows, when they're coming in like missiles, when it looks like the evidence is stacking up against you, and your next report is worse than the one before, remember verse 2 said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. You find it? I think that's the right one. Thank you. Oh, yeah. This is a bad boy right here. Can y'all handle this? Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, God, you're my defender, you're my protector, you're my God, and you I trust. He will keep you safe from all hidden dangers. Amen. See, there's dangers that you're aware of, where the spirit of fear tries to come in and enforce, you see, its will against you. But there's other ones that you don't even know about, that the enemy's planned for you, and right now they're just hidden. So although you're thinking and dealing with that which is obvious, he said, I'm going to keep you safe from the ones that's hidden. Let me back up and come back into this thing. He'll keep you safe from all hidden dangers. He'll keep you safe from all deadly diseases. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He will cover you with his wings. You will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect and defend you. You need not fear any dangers at night. Don't fear sudden attacks during the day. Glory. Now notice, he didn't say there wouldn't be attacks. Right? At night or day. He said, just don't be afraid of them. Well, how could this be happening? Because I spoke to it. He said, well, you said that in verse 2. I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my strength. He says, so when it comes, he said, don't be afraid of it. It has no ability to harm you. It has. He said it has zero ability to harm you. He said, don't be afraid of the plagues that strike in the dark or the evils that kill in the daylight. Now, these things are happening all the time. How do we know that? Well, the next verse says, 1,000 may fall dead right beside you. 10,000 all around you. But you won't be harmed. But you won't be harmed. You will look and see how the wicked are punished. You have made the Lord your defender. You have made the Most High your protector. And so, no disaster will strike you. No violence is going to come near your home. God has put His angels in charge of you, and they're going to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands to keep you from hurting your feet on the stones. You will trample down lions and snakes and fierce lions and poisonous snakes and lizards. Oh, I had that. God says, I will save those who love me, and I will save those who protect those who acknowledge me as their Lord. When you call to me, I will answer them. When they are in trouble, I will be with them. I will rescue them, and I will honor them. I will reward them with long life. I will save them. Amen. I will save them. Hallelujah. Now, I was on that thing, and I was praying. And then all of a sudden, I heard just in my spirit another psalm. Another psalm. After I read that, he led me to that one. And I was praying. And then I heard another psalm. And I'm dealing with some things with me. With me, right? That means if the enemy can attack me, he might look at you one day. Okay, that's the reason I'm bringing this up. Right? I mean, if I'm fair play, you are too, right? I'm not because I'm special or anything. I'm just saying, you know, if he's going to attack me, and I know a couple of scriptures. I've learned 2 or 3. Right? He may attack you with some scriptures. How do I know that? He attacked Jesus with scriptures. Matthew 4, Satan quoted Jesus, the Bible. He perverted the scripture, but he quoted the Bible. And Jesus said, oh, no, you didn't. Right? So I went to this chapter. I didn't know what it is. I'm going to read it from the GNT because I think it's pretty good here too. So let me ask you this. Anyone here can tell me the contents of Psalms 57? Without looking? $100. Tell me the content. Main thought of Psalm 57. Yeah, you're just like me. I didn't know either. So I get there. Go to Psalm 57. I mean, if you put me in front of a firing squad and said, tell us the content of your death, you wouldn't have saw me today. I'd be dead. The Lord's telling me what to do in a storm. When I've already said, and I've already spoken, and I've already decided, and I've already decreed, it's already been declared, and the word can't be changed. But there's still a storm outside. Now, this was written of David, who would be king, who was anointed king, who was trying to be killed every day by his father-in-law. You need to know which family you're getting into. When you marry someone, make sure you don't marry someone who wants to kill you every day. So he's hiding in a cave. And this is his prayer. Verse 1, this is the GNT, which is the Good News Translation. which is the opposite of bad news.
That's right.
Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful because I come to you for safety. In the shadow of your wings, I find protection until the raging storms are over. As soon as I read that, I thought, yep, Holy Ghost. There he was. I didn't even know what this psalm was going to be about. He just picked right up off Psalms 91. Can you see it? He said, I will come to you for safety, and in the shadow of your wings, I find protection until the raging storms are over. The thing that's buffeting you, the things that have come against you, the things that you've stood against, the things that you've sought the Lord over, the things that you believed in your heart and said with your mouth will not be denied.
Amen.
It will not be denied. And those things have an expiration date because you have accepted truth. And truth is not the whole truth, the full truth, and nothing but the truth. So help God. You have God's word on it. Therefore, everything that's not truth, when you're holding on to the truth, has to fall away.
Amen.
The truth will make what's not true fall away.
Amen.
You see, our problem is sometimes it's not that we didn't believe the scripture. It's just we got in some trouble and we've seen some things that we that affected us, caused it unbelief, and it shook our confidence in God. Or it didn't turn out this way for that person that we like. Or it didn't turn out for that person that we have a lot of respect for. Or it didn't turn out this way for a national minister. And who are we? But God's no respecter of persons. I was preaching things about the doctrine of grace, which has been around forever, but you hadn't heard about it in so many years. Took a lot of persecution for it in this church. I took a lot of persecution for it in the church around. And it was anti everything that I ever thought in a lot of areas. My biggest critic was me. Not you, me. Well, how can it be this and be that? I was watching Creflo do it that day on Brother Copeland's meeting this week at the conference, and I thought, man, he has stayed with that. And I mean, it was helping the people. It was helping the people. And Brother Copeland said he got so blessed he couldn't hardly keep his socks on. But I was in a meeting with Creflo in Florida when he was explaining how he come into it. He said, and it happened in this month and this year. And I thought, that's the same month, the same year it happened to me. Well, I didn't have a Creflo to listen to. He was becoming a student before he was becoming the teacher, which is always good to do it in that order. Right? Especially if you're a teacher. Well, so he David's in this cave. Saul is seeking to take his life. Saul knows that David is going to be the king in his stead. That God has stripped the throne from Saul because of disobedience, has given it to David. And his father-in-law seeks to kill him every day of his life. So he said, I called to the God. In other words, there's a storm out there. Right? There's a storm out there. It's kind of like war. I mean, I've never been there, but we got gentlemen here who have. But I'm imagining this is not a foreign thought to them, but it is to us. Have you ever woke up every day thinking to someone over there, their job is to make sure I don't live through the day? I mean, I know I just kind of shucked it down real quick, but I'm just saying, but isn't that kind of their job, is to make sure that you're not there tomorrow? Well, you don't think that way in normal life, do you? Until you get on the interstate, maybe. I'm just saying, but when they get that bridge and clear, I mean, maybe something will go away. But I'm just saying, can you see the mindset? David wakes up knowing, and he goes to sleep knowing, someone needs to be postcard. Someone needs to be looking. Someone needs to be listening because I have a man out here looking to take my life at any moment. So he's being vigilant. And he's human. And these things are attacking his mind. And he becomes tired. He becomes weary. And he's living in a cave with a bunch of bats, which means you could go batty. I'm assuming. Y'all okay? He says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful because I am coming to you for safety. Well, that's a good thing because the Lord's your refuge. That's where you go for protection. Or you might go to a storm pit during a storm. I'm not getting into what you ought to be believing. There's a storm period. Get in it. If it bothers you, get in it. If it bothers you, stay out of it. Amen. That's John Osteen's father years ago, John Osteen, or Joe Osteen's dad, which is John. Everyone knows who Joe Osteen is, but I'm talking about his father, John Osteen. They said, well, he preached these things. He said, well, Brother Osteen, do you believe in faith or going to the doctors? He said, man, I believe in living. He said he told his church one day, he was playing around, he said, well, those of you who don't like me taking medicine, he said, I'm telling you what, I decided not to ever take bear anymore. And they said, yay, the pastor's quit taking, for headaches, bear. He said, I now take aspirin. Well, verse 2 said, I call to God, the Most High, to God who supplies my every need. Who supplies my every need. Verse 3, He will answer from heaven. Here's His answer. He will answer from heaven, and His answer is save me. He saves me. He will do this by defeating my oppressors. God will show me His constant love and faithfulness. He tells the Lord, I'm surrounded by enemies who are like lions hungry for human flesh. Their teeth are like spears and arrows. Their tongues are like sharp swords. Show Your greatness in the sky, O God, and the glory over all the earth. Now, you understand David didn't have the Spirit of God in you like you do. So you can see over here where he's talking out of his mind over here one moment, and back over here he's speaking things that are good, and he's all over the map sometimes. He said, my enemies have spread a net to catch me. You ever felt that way? I'm overcome with distress. They dug a pit for me in my path, but they fell into it themselves. The enemy dug you a pit to kill you and bury you it, bury you. Oh, did you know that? Well, yes, of course. How many of you like the book of Revelation? Oh, that's right. One angel comes one day and puts him in a pit. Oh, that's right. They dug a pit for you, but fell into it themselves. I have complete confidence, O God. I will sing and praise You. Wake up, my soul. Wake up, my harp. Wake up, lyre. Wake up, sun. He said, I will wake up the sun. I will thank You, O Lord, among the nations. I will praise You among the peoples. Your constant love reaches the heavens. Your faithfulness touches the sky. Show Your greatness in the sky, O God, and Your glory over all the earth. Praise God. Can y'all handle just a little bit more? Then he said, go to Psalm 46. Now, I had some knowledge of what Psalm 46 was, but he was keeping me with a constant theme. Maybe I'll just stay with this translation. I don't know. Make anybody mad I'm in the GNT translation? The Demonic Good News translation. Oh, give me a break. Yeah. Verse 1, God is our shelter and our strength. He's always ready to help you in times of trouble. Why? He's always good. It's His nature. It's His essence. It's who He is. See, we can be good because He's in us, but we're not good of ourselves. God is the only being, as it were, in the universe that of His own essence, He doesn't go anywhere to get good, to be good. He is good. We're only good if we are good. It's because we have good God in us. And because He's in us by His Spirit, goodness comes out of us. But God doesn't get anything from anyone, doesn't receive this from anyone to be in His true essence and nature to be good. And the whole earth is full of goodness. So if the earth is full of it, there's no room for anything that's not good. Okay, let's finish here. Did y'all hear that we're finished? That's to give you hope. Hallelujah. The first round of chicken they make is not really that good. It usually has too much grease in it. And people who just have nerve shift, they just woke up, and they kind of mess it up. You want the second round. So I'm helping you more than what you know. All right, here we go. So we will not be afraid, verse 2, even if the earth, he said, I'm not going to be afraid even if the earth is shaken. And though the mountains fall into the ocean depths, even if the seas roar and rage and the hills are shaken by violence, there is a river, verse 4, that springs joy into the city of God, to the sacred house of the Most High. God is in that city. And it'll never be destroyed. And at early dawn, he will come to its aid. Nations are terrified. Kingdoms are shaken. God thunders and the earth dissolves. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is your refuge. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come see what amazing things he's done on earth. He stops wars all over the world. He breaks vows, destroys spears. Okay. I heard that, Lauren. Y'all remember John 16? Who's going to remember that? Okay. He sets shields on fire. Verse 10. Stop fighting, he says, and know that I'm God. Supreme among the nations, supreme over the world, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is your refuge. Now, we will finish here, John 16. He said, read this to them before they go. Go back to John 16 real quickly. Y'all okay? Now remember, it was to our advantage that Jesus went. Because he went, he sent the comforter, counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strength of the standby, who's coming to close fellowship with you. He's in close fellowship with you. Verse 24. Hitherto, that's a word we use all the time, isn't it? Hitherto. Can I go with Amplified? Up to this time. See how that helped you a little bit? Hitherto. Up to this time, Jesus said, you have not asked a single thing in my name. He's still with them. As presenting all that I am. But now ask and keep on asking and you will receive so that your joy and gladness and delight may be full and complete. I've told you these things, veiled languages, allegories, dark sayings. The hour is now coming when I no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I shall tell you about the Father in plain words and openly without reserve. At that time, you will ask, parentheses, pray in my name, and I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for it will be unnecessary. He said, you ask the Father. Don't ask me to ask the Father, because it's not necessary in that day. Here's why. For the Father, which is your Father, he's God, but Jesus brought fatherhood into it. No one in the old covenant knew God as Father. Jesus had always talked about the Father. For the Father himself, he tenderly loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came out from the Father and I have come into the world again and I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, now you're finally speaking to us, not in parables or veiled language, figures of speech. Watch this. Now we know that you're acquainted with everything, and now we know that you don't need any of us to ask you questions. Well, he never did need them to ask him questions. They weren't too sure that Jesus didn't need some counsel every now and by himself. He said, now we kind of think that you might know some things. And that you don't need us to ask you questions. Jesus didn't even pick up on that. He was really kind to him. He said, Jesus answered them, said, do you now believe? Do you believe at last? He said, but take notice, the hour is coming, and it has arrived when you will be dispersed and scattered, every man to his own home, leaving me alone, yet I'm not alone. So he's talking about what's just about to happen. They don't even know what he's talking about. Right before he's crucified. You're going to leave me alone, but I'm not going to be alone because the Father's with me. Close right here, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me, somebody say, in me.
In me.
Say, Jesus told me this. Tell your neighbor, say, Jesus told you this. Ask him, say, are you listening? Now let's see what Jesus told us. He said, in me you have perfect peace and confidence. In this world, you have tribulations and trials. In the world, you're going to have distresses and frustration. But, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Remain certain. Remain undaunted. For I overcame the world. Now, he's talking about future events. Right? Right? Remember, the Holy Spirit talks to you about what's going to happen in the future. And he tells you when you have these events in the future, here is where you're to remain. Certain. Not frustrated. Take courage. Be of good cheer. He's telling you these things are coming to you. He said, but know this. I have overcome this world. I deprived it of the power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. I see that now. So whatever is buffing at you, whatever is harassing you, the Bible says we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So don't take it up with people. You know, people just let Satan use them, right? Don't get into that. That's fighting the flesh like a flesh fight with flesh. You can't fix the flesh with flesh. Do it in the spirit right here. And if this is just a personal thing for you, this is just something that you're dealing with. This is just something about your life. This is something about your future. This is something about your home, your children, your finances, your healing, whatever it is. And these thoughts are coming to you. You take refuge. You take shelter because the storm's going to pass. But when these thoughts come, you need to answer them. And I think you ought to get the amplified right here and you ought to answer these thoughts and say, he told me you was coming. When they go, oh, he said, yep, he told me you was coming. Oh, he told me you was coming. Yep, he said you was coming. But he told me be of good cheer. Oh, no, I don't believe those lies. I know exactly how this is going to turn out. Why? Because I have inside information about the future. People have gone to prison for what they call what? Inside trading. Ask Martha Stewart about it. It's when someone who's given you information that you're not supposed to have, and then you go put some coins down on it and say, I believe it's going to work out pretty good on that Hunt's Ketchup. And you know that because he's in charge, told you it was going to work out good. But here, you don't have to go to jail for it. You got inside information about your future. Your future. Right? He's going to talk to you about the plan for your future. He said, the message I get, he said, I'm telling you, I'm not going to speak on my own authority. It's not going to be on my own accord. I'm not going to give you the message that I've got. I'm going to go to the head of the church. The head of the church. Not the head of the Methodist church, not the head of the Baptist church, not the head of the Catholic church. I'm going to go to the head of the church. I'm going to go to the head of the church. And I am going to bring to you the message from the head of the church, and I'm going to disclose and transmit that message to you. He tells me in this life you're going to deal with some situations. They're coming. Right? The devil's defeated, but he's not dead yet. And he won't ever be dead in that sense. But he said, know this, you need to be not frustrated, not distressed, when tribulation and trials come your way. For you need to know I have overcome the world and I have deprived it of the power to harm you. I saw this problem in your future and I went to your problem. I didn't wait for it to come to you. I went to your problem and I took it head on and I deprived it of any power to harm you. See, he wasn't playing defense. He was playing offense. I went to your issues. I went to your problem. I went to your sickness. I went to your disease. I went to your family situations, and I worked it out. It has no power to harm you, so I don't care what tune it's whistling. I don't care how big the storm. I don't care if it's the F3 or 4, 5, 6, or 49. It has no power to harm you. That lion is toothless. He makes a big yawn. He makes a big roar. But I'm telling you, he has no ability to bring harm to you. Get under my wings. Come into my refuge. The storm's just about to pass. It's a great day. Praise God. Glory be to God. Well, as I say, I preach myself happy.
Yes.
Of course, I was happy before I got here. Amen. You can tell I take medicine for depression. Amen. And I'd be okay if I did. But I'd be taking it while I was coming off of it. Can you see that? Take that verse. Take that verse. Now, remember, 2 Corinthians 4, he said, he's going to blind your mind, if he can, so that you can't take the good news of this gospel and get you delivered, so that you'll be alienated from everything that's ever said today. And you'll walk around next week, I just got these problems. Not if you cast them. Not if you cast all the care upon him. If you cast all the care upon him and he has all the care, how much you got? You're not supposed to have any. If you have no cares in the world, shouldn't you be happy? Right? You should be what?
Carefree.
If you have no cares, he has all the cares, you are free of care. This is deep. That makes you, this is deep now. You got to listen real. If he took all the cares and you're free of care, this is deep now. You got to catch this. This is deep revelation. You are now care free. Free of care. You can't look in here and see how much I don't care. You can try to look. You can see how much I really care. Do you think the world economy is going to come into one government? I don't care. Do you think that they're going to reprint the money and take it away? I don't care. Do you think we're going to get attacked by North Korea and a nuclear bomb or Russia? Or do you think Hillary Clinton might be the president still? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I have a responsibility to pray and to do my part as a citizen of this nation, right? But I'm not even from this world. And you're not from this world. So if you're not even from this world, why do you care? I don't care. I don't care. So I'm carefree. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. He. See, Jesus said, unless you come to him as a child, he said, you can't even enter into things of the kingdom of God. When you're with a bunch of 2, 3, 4, 5 girls, aren't they always silly giggling about a bunch of nothing? You think, oh gosh, thank God for school. Hallelujah. They're like, this silly little stuff. Huh? Then you get a little bit older, it's still silly. You go to school, and all of a sudden, I remember the day I decided I liked girls. I mean, the day before, I couldn't stand them. They're like, oh, disease. And the next day, I looked at her and she's like, whoa, what have they done to you? I mean, did they put you in some kind of machine? Because I know you're a girl, and I no longer want to throw up. I like women. My mother was one. And then I started writing them little notes. I like you. Do you like me? Check one. Please check to the left. How many of y'all ever did that in school? You don't want to raise your hand? And then we asked him, so, do you want to go with me? I'm in the fourth grade. Where are we going? Where are we going? We're not going anywhere. I got no wheels. I got training wheels. I called a little girl. Her name was Vicky. What age would I have been? I told you. Fourth grade, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. I won't mention her last name because she probably still lives around here. I got the courage to call her, got her number, and I called her at home. And I said, may I speak to Vicky? And he said, this is Mr. So-and-so, the last name. He said, Vicky cannot talk to you. I said, can I call her later? He says, no, you cannot call her later. He said, I am her dad, I am her friend, and I'm her boyfriend. Don't ever call my house again. I said, yes, sir. Boom. Now, I think he's a little bit harsh, but the man got what he wanted. I no longer saw Vicky as attractive. So we go together for about, I don't know, a day or two. So you can see the immaturity of how we made decisions. Go back and read some of your annuals from school. Forever and ever. By next Thursday, you couldn't remember their name. God's with you forever. He's in this relationship to stay. He's sold out to you. You're his highest prize. He gave his best son for you, his only son for you. Amen. I declare in the name of Jesus, healing in your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In the name of Jesus, any spirit that's not of God, spirit of infirmity or otherwise, just sickness, in Jesus' name, we declare that to be improper. Jesus said, I give you the power to bind and the power to loose. I use his name and that power, and I say in Jesus' name, you are loose from that sickness and you are loose from that infirmity. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now, some of you have been a little concerned how this is going to work and how that's going to work. Don't. Don't. And the Lord doesn't need your help working it out. Well, God, you could use so-and-so, and if you use so-and-so, they got money. They could help me. And so then you start suggesting to the Lord. No, you cast the care. You cast the care. It's not yours. It's not yours. You're free. Well, what am I going to do? You're going to stay under the wing. You're going to stay in the refuge. You're going to stay carefree. Amen. You're going to be free from the... He said, this storm is passing. These problems of yours, he said, they have an expiration date. What do you do when the bread expires and the milk expires? Right? I drank it. You can have all my... If we get them, I'll send them to you. Well, amen.